This is CliffCentral.com.
Well, this morning we're going to learn a lot about someone whom we already know and love, but we're going to learn a little bit more, and we're going to find out all about what it is she does to make sure she stays in amazing shape, and she is in amazing shape.
I've never known her to not be in amazing
true.
Shape.
It's, that is so true.
It's just so enviable.
So that's the operative term, enviable.
So, you know, hashtag brand new day. We've been talking about life hacks that help people to live a more balanced, healthy, fulfilled life. It's powered by Kellogg's All Bran, and we decided to profile some interesting people around their everyday well-being and how they're achieving this in their day-to-day life. And one of them is the guest that we will be meeting in a second. You know that Kellogg's All Bran is synonymous with building well-being and enabling a healthier lifestyle. Just last week we were talking to Ben about it. And brandnewday.co.za is the home of it all, where you can find more info about bran and fiber, fun recipes, and plenty of other info. They've got All Bran flakes, they've got All Bran porridge, All Bran high fiber, and plenty more. And Ben has been trying to get me to eat properly, and we're getting there slowly.
You're definitely improving, Gareth.
I think so. Little bits and pieces.
See, all this good eating, your facials.
I know. Eventually, so
we'll
I'll
be like superhuman.
Eventually, I won't be so ugly and old and revolting and terrifying for people to see in the street.
Right.
Where they throw the dogs and cats at me and try to get out. Scream, no, no, there comes the hunchback again.
Sure. Wow,
get out of his way. He'll try to eat you. All right, here she is, the beautiful South African DJ, actress, television presenter, journalist, and aspiring yoga master, Zureida Jardine.
Master,
look at you.
Wow. Yeah. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Namaste.
Namaste. Yeah.
How are you?
I'm tired. I was on my way here. In fact, I've been speaking to folks in the green room about being lethargic. Has anyone else been lethargic in the last 24 hours?
Hands up.
Mm. What's that about, guys? I feel like something's
allergies.
Happening.
Yeah. The heat, I think, as well. Like, we're still getting reused to the heat again.
Okay, so here's what I think's happening. Because I might not have an answer at the end of this statement. But I know that I've been getting enough sleep this week.
Yeah.
I've been going to sleep early every night. And I wake up and I'm okay for a while.
Yeah.
Then somewhere in the morning, I just get hopelessly tired.
So what is that, guys?
I don't
feel
know.
Like energetically something's happening. Like,
ooh.
Like I do. I feel like something's happening, and we're only going to find out about it maybe in weeks or months or years to come. But I feel like
maybe
energy levels, atmospheric levels. I think things are changing, and I think it's affecting us humans.
Wait, girl, what does that mean? Do we need to light candles? Do we
need
to get into downward dog position?
But I just know that I'm tired.
Oh dear,
I'm tired.
That sounds ominous.
And you know what? When something breaks, we'll listen back to this and say, Zureida
told exactly.
You might be onto something, because it is unusual. And like, if you, because you're a pretty energetic person, and I thought it was just me, but if you're feeling this way too,
I was explaining to someone like the difference between being tired and being lethargic. So, like you're saying, you have your 8 or 9 or 10 hours sleep, or even 7 hours sleep, and then, you know, you're meant to feel okay, but then a few hours later, you're like just dead. And I've been feeling that way for the last 24 hours, like. Okay, what's happening? Yeah, and
maybe
I'm doing yoga, guys, and I'm eating my All Bran, so I don't know what's going on.
Maybe there's something that we don't know. That's a good point. All right, so let's catch up with you, because the last time you were in here, I think you were in here with your husband.
I was. I think the last time I was here was 3 years ago.
It's
been a while.
Feels
and,
like yesterday.
I know, right?
How are your kids?
My kids, we've decided to keep them.
That's always a good decision.
You got to do the first 3 or 4 years as a trial period.
That's exactly what I said to them.
If they're not talented, they're not beautiful, and they're not athletic, and they're not just terrific specimens,
you send them back.
Send them back and make more, because you can, right?
Factory fault.
Exactly. I often threaten them, like, if you do not do what I say, I'm taking you back to the hospital. No, I promise. No, my kids are good.
They will be sitting in a therapist's red leather chair complaining about that in 20
years.
So, since the last time I was here,
yes.
I have become a psychology student.
Oh. Really?
Yes, I am a full-time psych student at FITS.
I'm so impressed with that. First of all, because it's a great course to do.
Yeah.
I mean, what an interesting thing to study.
It's incredible. I often sit in my lectures and I think, we should have first-year psychology taught in schools, like Absolutely. In Standard 8, 9 and matric.
Because people in this country are so damaged. We are such a damaged society.
Completely.
Most of us. I would
think
say
all of us, actually, Gareth. We all have issues.
I would say up to 90% of us don't even have circumstantial mental health.
Yeah.
Like, 90% of us don't have any security, mm-hmm. whether it's food security, whether it's money security, whether it's security.
Yeah.
Most of us have predation upon us in some physical or mental form mm-hmm. every day. We're being attacked by ideas, by people, by vicious things. We don't have anywhere to resort to, anywhere to hide, anywhere to feel safe. And people are just broken. They're broken by families that are distorted and corrupted and ruined. And the system does not help us.
Yeah, and culture, right? Because sometimes it's just culturally wrong for you not to speak about your feelings.
Right.
Or not. So many people, you talk about being broken. So many people are broken and they don't know that they're broken. And that's what the sad thing is. There's so many of us in the world, in South Africa in particular, that are walking around with depression and we don't even know why we're depressed. You know, we're depressed because we can't talk about things.
We are depressed.
Yes, exactly.
You know, just last week they released stats about how South African men, the suicide rates among South African men
mm-hmm.
is so concerning because of exactly that culture of, as a man,
completely.
What do you mean you want to talk about how you feel?
What's wrong with you?
Yeah. So what do you mean you can't get a job? Yes. What do you mean you can't get money? It's like you're a man. You're supposed to be doing that. You know? The whole notion of what you're supposed to be doing is
a man.
It's pressurizing. So, yeah, it is an interesting course, and I'm really happy to be doing it. And it's certainly fulfilling me as a human being and as a parent.
That was the first reason I think it's great that you're studying. The second thing is that a lot of people, they think, well, you know, I'm life experience can make up for all those things I didn't study. And in some situations, that's true. But I think to decide later on in life, when you're not in your 20s anymore, that you're going to do this is a really good move.
Yeah. Well, you know,
keeps
I had
your brain going.
In my yoga class the other day, this girl said to me, she was like, why are you changing your career so late? And I looked at her and I said, what does that mean, late? I said, life is short, but life can be really long as well. And if I'm, you know, fortunate enough to live a long life, this is just a section and part of my life. And so this is what I want to do next, you know. I was in broadcasting for nearly 20 years, and maybe I want to do something else for the next 20 years.
Isn't it sad that she thinks things are linear?
I feel like it's a South African thing as well. I feel like people, like at Wits, for example, there aren't very many mature full-time students. Like in my course, I'm one of two mature students. Whereas if you go to...
They call you mature students.
Yeah. In fact, you become a mature student at the age of 23.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Wow. Yeah. You see, that's the mentality that we have here, that you go to university when you're 18 years old and that's it. And you're there from 18 to 22 and then you go and you start your career for the rest of your life and that's what you stay. But if you go to Europe or you go to the States, things are different. People are studying all the time, whether they be 40 or 50 or 60 or 70 or change. People change careers and it's okay. But somehow in South Africa, I find that we're just often so narrow-minded and boxed in so many fields. Like, okay, this is what you do. So Gareth, you are going to be a broadcaster for the rest of your life and that's it. And one day when you hear that, you know, Gareth is running for president, which, mark my words, he's going to do someday. Ooh. You're like, what? You know?
Never happen.
It's going to happen.
You're so
wrong. I completely see you in politics. I always have.
That is a horrible thing to say to someone, and I'm very hurt by that. I
don't
want to think
this
interview is now over.
No, it's a compliment. It's
not,
a compliment.
No,
it's, you should
I know
be
what
politics.
You mean, but it's really the most horrible profession, and you have to be an evil person to
Yeah,
answer.
Obama isn't evil.
Hey.
You
good points, Walpert.
You did want to once upon a time, didn't
once.
You? You,
yeah.
you considered
I think we
politics
can,
as a career.
I think we can all make a difference.
I think Gareth would be a great politician. And I'd go as far as to say he would be a great president. And I've always said that. I've always thought that. And so has Josh, for that matter. I'm not kidding around. I really, really mean that.
Well, if your kids vote for me, we've got four votes then we're good.
Yeah.
I don't know if we're exactly good. You know, this number
But we have
thing,
potential.
It's a start.
All right, so hang on. So mentally, this is great for you as well, because apart from intellectually improving you, it's also good for you because you can figure out while you're studying this stuff, because we all have parent issues. We all have children issues. We all have relative issues. There's stuff in you know, school and varsity and what you did in your career. And now, as a psychology student, you're busy thinking about and reflecting on your own life and trying to be as objective as possible, which doesn't happen for a lot of people.
Yeah.
That must be fascinating.
It is fascinating. I'm constantly reminded that I need to have an open mind, and more so, I just, you know, when I meet people who try to pretend like they have no issues, I like just can't help but giggle at that, because guys, we all have issues. Like,
big time.
You know, I'm doing the best I can do in terms of parenting, but I guarantee you, my kids are someday gonna have some issues with what I did and how I did it. So it is interesting, and it's interesting to look at people as individuals and not cluster them, because that's what we tend to do. We tend to cluster people and judge them not based on where they come from or what their circumstances are. So I find that I'm just so proud of myself. Like, my mind has opened up in a way it would never have opened up had I not gone and done this course. And then to top that all, I feel really privileged to be studying with young 19-year-olds. You know, I'm double their age. Like, I'm old enough to be their mom. In fact, I have some peers, and their mothers are younger than what I am.
Wow.
You're looking great. You're sounding great. You've got clearly huge amounts of stimulation going on in your life, and you're a mom. But I want to know, just for the sake of people who've been following our Brand New Day program over the last couple of weeks, there are things that we need to be able to understand about how we fuel ourselves.
Yeah.
And what we put into our bodies, because what you put in is what you get out.
Completely.
And what I've learned from everybody so far, and I don't think you're going to come in and contradict everything suddenly, is that if you don't do the right things in the morning, the whole day is a mess.
Completely. Completely. It's how we start off, right? And, you know, the great thing about my partnership with Brand New Day and Kellogg's and All Brand Flakes is that I've always eaten All Brand Flakes. So it was such a lovely organic partnership, because it was like, I love you guys anyway.
You didn't have to convince me. Right.
I'm also the kind of person that eats All Brand any time of the day. So it doesn't necessarily have to be had with my soy milk or my rice milk first thing in the morning. I can eat it like in the afternoon or evening too. But yeah, absolutely. You know, Gareth, I find that, you know, when I look at the feedback and the engagement that I've been getting on my social media, is that a lot of us need guidance out there. And one of the cool things that we can do to capitalize when it comes to social media is to be real. You know, to not see ourselves as opposed to people with makeup on and high heels. Like, you're not seeing me with makeup right now. I don't have high heel shoes on. Hope you don't mind my flip-flops on your face there.
She's wearing slops.
I'm wearing slops to the Gareth to the Gareth Cliff Show. But yeah, it's, you know, one of the things I pride myself on is trying to have a social media account that's as real as possible and as authentic as possible, because for me that's really important right now. And I find that my followers are really appreciating my life story through my social media, because at the end of the day I'm just as busy as the rest of you. Struggling to juggle as many balls as everyone else. No one person is less busier than the other. And so it's been a great way to live my life that way, and for people to see it being authentic on social media and talking about what you put into your body. I'm not too sure if this is something, an ideology that you only start realizing and appreciating when you get older, because that's been happening to me more and more. The older I get, the more I'm seeing how important things are, like what you eat or the exercises that you're doing. So I'm hoping that I can inspire a younger following to start looking after themselves from now already, from your early 20s. Because I think in my 20s, I kind of took a lot for granted in terms of the junk food that I ate.
Well, that's what I was telling Sia earlier. But this is important too, because it's an evolution. You're not going to get everything right at the beginning. I mean, you could listen to these podcasts from beginning to end, and you could pick up really interesting stuff. But the only person who's going to change the way that you're living, if you're not living a very healthy life at the moment, is you. And sometimes you have to go down to come up.
And that's exactly what had to happen to me. Like, I've been through stages where, for example, I thought that I was eating the right foods, or I was maybe exercising too much, and I started getting high levels of cortisol that was being pumped through my body, and with the result, I wasn't losing weight, I wasn't feeling healthy. So it's, first of all, you've got to look at yourself as an individual, see what's right or what's wrong for you, and then just, you know, live consciously. For me, that's what's most important, is that you live consciously. You wake up in the morning, you have your breakfast. You have your breakfast not on your phone, not reading a paper, not
but
you actually just, you know, you spend your moment eating your cereal or whatever it is that you're doing, and you do it consciously and mindfully, and you know, I don't mean to sound esoteric, but you're thankful for what's going into your body and what's going to come out of your body as a result of what you're putting into your body. So that's how I'm trying to live my life, just having more moments of consciousness, like this is where I am right now, and nothing else matters.
Preach. This yoga you do, is it naked yoga? Because that's what I've heard.
So I do naked yoga sometimes.
Oh.
But you have to be on your own.
Yeah.
Or are you in a room
with...
You
and the photographer.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, we need to go back.
So how do you know about my naked yoga? You had to have seen a picture.
I'm
so
just...
So someone had to be in the room.
A little bird whispered in my ear that you've done this naked yoga.
I didn't do any naked yoga.
No?
I went to Mexico.
Your Graham would say something different. Okay.
I went to Mexico. I was doing some yoga. I had my bikini bottoms on, and my husband took a picture of me, and you know, and I'm backless. I mean, I was topless,
yes,
but it was my back that was, you know, bare. But I mean, I wasn't doing naked yoga per se.
What are the benefits of naked yoga? Asking for a friend.
Asking for a friend. Just, you know, less clothing to have to, like, you know, push away when you're getting into certain positions.
Okay.
You because you're naked, you're more, you know, you just earthed so much more. Because there's nothing between you and the earth. So you should try it.
I don't believe any of this.
Should we get you into Downward Dog right now?
Yes.
Put him.
Girl.
Yeah.
Do me a favor. Bend
him over.
We can do the yoga. We can Downward Dog.
I'm not even kidding. Put
Sun Salutation.
Put Sia in the Downward Dog position.
Okay, what's the best way to do it? Okay.
Downward Dog.
Yeah.
Show me.
I'll be down for this.
Okay. Show us your Downward Dog.
Okay, do you know Downward Dog?
No.
Okay.
This is a very important position.
Apart.
It's good for your back.
I won't break anything, right?
Come, do this.
Well,
we need you to pay attention.
Okay, go down.
Okay. So Zoraida is now on all fours with her bum raised up in the air.
Right.
Sia's doing the same,
okay,
but in a different direction. Sia, lift your backside a little more. There we go. Yeah.
Tailbone up.
Tailbone up.
Yes.
Come on.
Where's my
That's good.
Where is my tailbone?
Your tailbone is your coccyx. It's at the bottom of your
Where is my tailbone to begin with?
That is your tailbone.
Yeah.
Where is
the
my
small
tailbone?
Of my back. The small of my back. Okay.
You need to tuck it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Are we ready?
Okay.
Okay. Now, into the position.
Hands underneath shoulders.
Okay.
Okay, hands on the hand.
Look at my leg. Look at my tailbone. Feet flat.
All right.
Okay,
see, he's stretching in ways that he didn't know he could stretch.
Down.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, head down.
And then put your head down and then help him.
Okay.
All right. Zoraida's going to push. Zoraida's got her hand firmly placed on Sia's buttocks.
Oh, she just slapped it as well.
She gave it a smack.
Side. Yes, ma'am.
There we go.
Okay.
Just
there you
relax
are.
There.
Oh.
Now
relax.
You've got to stay there for a while. Okay. Now breathe.
Now go.
Now, what does this downward dog do for you?
Let me just say, girl, I've never been touched in that way before.
Certainly not by Zoraida.
You've shown me a whole new side of life.
I'll tell you, this yoga, there's merit in this.
Okay, I get it.
No, I don't think you see the point with yoga, and you can correct me where I'm wrong here, Zoraida.
Mm-hmm.
Yoga is, it's not just a fitness, it's a well-being thing. It's a learning to breathe right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Stretching your muscles, doing all those things that... The oaks, the boots who go to the gym, they don't know about this stuff.
Now I feel like I need to
It's about
it
doing what you were doing right now and then breathing. And you weren't breathing. Did you notice that you weren't breathing? You're breathing now.
Yeah.
You hold your breath.
Now you
but
are.
It's a process, right? When did you get into yoga?
So I started my yoga journey in my 20s, but I was completely erratic. And in the last couple of years, it's kind of like what I feel works best for me. I can't go to gym 24/7. I can't be doing the hectic training all the time. This is what I find, that when I go to gym, for example, and I'm on a treadmill, I think about a whole lot of other stuff. What do I have to do after this? I'm not present. But when you do something like yoga or Pilates,
and your because you're engaging being up.
Exactly, mm-hmm. and because you have to engage your breath, you cannot focus on anything else. So you really are just there.
It's meditative.
Exactly. Exactly. That's exactly what it is, and I need that.
Yeah. Also, I mean, being a mom, you got your kids screaming the whole time. You got things to worry about with the kids. You got a husband you have to look after.
Got a cat and a dog.
Your cat, who apparently is in charge of the house.
My cat, Gareth, is a Bengal.
Yeah.
It's six generations away from an Asian tiger. My wow. garden is like a mortuary daily. Oh. She is constantly killing birds and rats. I can't deal with it. Last night, around 5 o'clock, wow. I was cooking, and she brings a rat into the kitchen. The rat is screaming for its life, and I can't. The rat was still alive. But this is a daily occurrence. Like, she's just constantly killing stuff.
But don't they bring it to you as a gift?
Yeah, right? I'm not interested in the gift. Yeah. I'm not interested in
not
the
your
gift.
Kind of gift.
This is Akila.
Akila the cat, yes.
Wow.
Akila. She is Akila. Oh.
Yeah.
You've got all this stuff going on. That gives you a bit, the yoga is your time.
Yeah, oh, completely. Exactly. That's what it is. The yoga's my time. No. I don't ever go to yoga with friends. It's not a social thing for me at all.
No.
That's my time. And that's what we need to do.
You got one of those little mats in your car?
I do. In fact, I've got a mat everywhere.
Always got to be ready.
Exactly. I'm ready for my downward dog. It's about my me time. That's another thing that we've got to, aside from eating consciously, we've got to have put aside me time. Yep. Do you guys do that?
I do. No, my whole life is me time.
What do you do for me time?
What do you do for me time?
You know what I like to do? Whatever I decide to do on that day. But I do, for example, I do go to gym. I try to go 6 days a week now.
Wow.
And it's just, I put on headphones, I listen to music or podcasts, and it's me. I'm getting my mind and my body right.
But don't people come and talk to you in the gym, though?
Yeah, but then I ignore them and I'm rude to them, and that's why I have a bad reputation. Okay. No, I say to them, look, nice to meet you. You know, you'd be polite, but you carry on. And most of the people at the gym I go to, they kind of used to, I'm part of the furniture now, so I get on it.
Okay, so they leave you alone.
But yeah, I like to sleep. I think sleep is important, and I like to read. I like to just quietly get on with my things. And
That's
you know, again,
important.
Improve your brain, improve your body.
Yeah.
And the difference here with you and everybody else is that you seem to find a very nice balance. And that's difficult to achieve because you aren't just weighing yourself up here. You're putting Josh into the mix, you're putting your kids in, your pets, the in-laws, your work. Hmm. I mean, this is all fairly stressful stuff. And then you still add things like when you did Strictly Come Dancing and won it. She's not one to...
Sure.
In it to win it.
Yeah. She did the Save SA March earlier this year, among other things. You've been to Mexico. You went to the Maldives. You went to Mauritius. So you do fit in a bit of fun.
That makes me sound really wealthy, though. Yeah. I'm not wealthy. It just makes
the rest of us want your life.
You don't have anything to do. I mean, Josh doesn't rope you into his business, does he?
No, he doesn't. You know, we're really cool partners in terms of letting each other be who we are fully. You know, I don't have balance, Gareth. I think balance is elusive. I'm constantly struggling to juggle, but I think what is
it looks like you're balanced.
Yeah, well, I'm trying and I'm mindful, so I'm mindful of trying to keep things in order. I'm not always getting it right, definitely not always getting it right, but I'm certainly mindful, and the older I get, the more conscious I'm becoming, which is one of the beauties I really enjoy most about aging, is that I feel like every year that I age, I just feel like I feel so much better. I'm more rooted in myself. I'm one of those women that really enjoy aging.
May I ask for a certain person in this room who doesn't like the idea that he's now gone into a new amazing decade that he should embrace? What does aging mean to you then?
Aging.
And like, what do you mean when you say you enjoy it?
She just said it. Don't,
it's the privilege of time.
A certain person. Say me.
There we go.
It's the privilege of time. I mean, yeah. it's I would never want to go back to my 20s. I was just so lost. I actually wasn't lost, but I just thought I knew it all. And the cool thing about aging is that you realize that you just know nothing. Mm. There's just so much more to learn.
And you probably worry less about
completely.
The dumb stuff, the older you get.
Yeah, you fit into yourself more. It's almost like you've been given this body, right? And as you age, you just start fitting more into the body until you completely own yourself.
That's where
I feel I'm getting.
That's a good
way
of looking
at
it.
You know, getting to own myself more and more. So I really, and I do, I think that to age is a privilege of time that so many of us are not granted.
Yeah.
So what pressurizes you? What makes you feel out of balance?
Incessant essay writing, having to write a test, and being the age I am, and I'm like, do you know who I am? Do you know how old I am? What do you mean I have a test on the 16th? I don't want to write that test on the 16th, but I have to, you know. So those are the things that pressurize me, because I'm a full-time student and I'm at varsity from Monday to Friday. I do suffer from guilt that I'm not able to spend as much time with my kids as possible. My daughter already speaks to me saying, if you're not writing an essay, do you mind if you blah, blah, blah? And that really kills me, because it's like she knows that there's something that's a priority in my life, which is finishing an essay or finishing a deadline. So I suffer from a bit of guilt that I don't, for example, I love cooking and I don't cook the kind of foods that I used to cook before because it's time consuming. So I make easier things right now that are still delicious, but they don't, you know, they're not as time consuming as they used to, because I don't have the time.
Yeah.
But my 24 hours in the day, because of all these things that I'm doing, just means so much more to me. So when I spend time with my daughter and son, it's quality time. Yeah. When I'm at university, I'm only there. When I'm doing my yoga, I'm only there. When I'm, you know, training, I'm only doing that. So that is why things like eating consciously and not having my phone with me or not reading something has become important. My 24 hours means so much more to me now than it ever has before in my life, because my life is so full.
What's your take on spirituality? I mean, what is your feeling there? Because a lot of people, particularly while you're studying psychology, which is largely a scientific pursuit,
mm-hmm.
I remember you and Josh at your wedding, it was kind of non-denominational.
Mm-hmm.
It was sort of this idea of everybody must just get together and feel the love, which was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I remember that wedding. It was really, really special.
Thank you. That's how we bring our kids up too. So.
So what's your take on spirituality?
I think spirituality is very personal, number one. And yes, I am studying something that's very scientific. But the cool thing about where we're at is that things are beginning to merge more and more. Like we were talking about earlier on, a lot of people feeling lethargic, you know, because we can't, you know, get stats out of that per se. You know, we can't go and empirically research it and put numbers to it. Doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. We're feeling it. And so for me, spirituality is about feeling stuff. And if you can feel things and I can feel things, and the fact that we can't communicate it in the language we know to be language, which is the words that come out of our mouths, it's okay, as long as we're able to feel stuff. So spirituality for me is important. It's very, very, very personal. It's not a collective thing. It's me and my time with myself. You know, I believe that God, so to speak, swirls inside of me. I believe that I can find my answers to my well-being inside of me to a large degree if I'm aware and still and focused.
Do you watch the news? Because it's so depressing. I can't find the right answer for this. We have to know what's going on in current affairs, but sometimes when I watch particularly television news, I mean, we try to make fun of the news here a lot of the time because most of it's ridiculous.
Right.
But on television, and if you got it from the internet, a lot of it is so depressing.
I'm feeling that particularly this year, aren't you?
Yeah.
CNN is on all the time. So it's constantly either on BBC or CNN. And I was actually having this conversation with Josh a couple of weeks ago. I was saying to him, I feel like there's just no good news coming out. It's like just disaster after disaster after disaster. So I don't know where you're going with this, Gareth. Are you going, what, something spiritually is happening? Is climate change happening? Like, what is happening? But in the world right now, there's just a lot of negativity. There's a lot of angst. Yeah. You even see that on the road. People are angry.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't move when the traffic light turns green instantaneously, you are in trouble. You know, there's zap signs going.
Yeah.
What's wrong with you?
People
you're
are angry.
Idiots.
People are so angry.
I've actually gotten to the point where I can't watch any more of these videos that go viral.
Yeah.
Like this week or last week, there was a video of a disabled child being pushed off the school bus, for example.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
yeah,
and then another day, there's a video of a girl in school being raped by her principal and two other teachers.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Like, and these videos go viral almost every week on social media, and I just find, like, I very quickly scroll past those because I can't handle it anymore.
But you know, the onus,
it's too much.
The onus is on you. And the thing with social media, we have so much distraction in our lives right now. There's so much choice and options as to what you are going to, where's your frame going to be. You have to consciously make sure that you're following the right people. So if you don't want to see that, don't be following CNN, or, you know, don't be on Facebook all the time and following friends that are, because you get those people, they feed off the drama. It's all about the drama. They're interested in the child that's been pushed off the bus. But you know what, the truth is as well, guys, there's a lot of beautiful things happening in the world.
That's true.
There's a lot of Ubuntu. There's a lot of love. There's a lot of caring and sharing. Yeah. And we just have to zone into, you've got to choose what your focus is going to be. Are you going to be watching CNN all the time and, you know, listening to breaking news, which is only going to be about disasters because good news doesn't make headlines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or are you going to follow the channels that bring you the good news? And so for me, once again, that's a conscious decision that you make. What is going to stream into your life right now with social media? You are in control of that.
And there's a great segment every week down the Gareth Cliff Show at 6:50 called Said by Sia, where a certain Sia brings these uplifting and inspiring stories.
I love that.
Thank
there we
you.
Go.
Yes.
This is true.
There we go.
But you're right about so much of this. What do you guys do for fun? I mean, like when you and Josh have a bit of spare time, do you always do stuff with the kids that has to be about what the kids are doing? Or do you and he still do things to keep your relationship alive?
So we do try and go on a vacation once a year if it's possible, on our own. So we'll go away for about a week. That's about it. What we try and do regularly is go for a massage and dinner, just one-on-one time, and we try not to talk about the kids because it's so easy for your life to be just consumed around them. And I'm, once again, I don't want to look back in time to come and, you know, look at my partner and go, who are you? Because my whole life has been about them and talking about them. So we do try to do that. But once again, it's a struggle. You know, it's a struggle. You've got all these things to do with the school. I mean, the kids do so much at schools these days.
Are your kids super overachievers? Because I think both their parents are.
They're not yet. I don't think that, I mean, they're 6 and 8, so not yet. Not yet. My kids have a rich life in terms of
wasn't
what they're exposed
Zaria,
to.
She was born in Beverly Hills, man.
She was born in the States,
so
yeah.
So she's an American.
She's an African-American, yes.
Yes!
So her president is Trump.
Yes, you have an African-American baby. Absolutely.
I love that.
Nice.
I love it.
Does your son feel somehow maligned and misunderstood and unfortunate that he is not American? Does she wave that in his face and say, I can go work there anytime your Zuma screws up anymore?
Not at all. She actually doesn't ever mention it. She knows that she was born in the States, but it's not. She's South African, you know. She's, you know, kids, they live in the moment. They're
of
not,
course they
yeah,
do. They don't care about
that's
that
what's beautiful
stuff.
About them. Kids and animals.
So you and Josh will go away once a year if you can, and then the rest of the time you'll have these massages and dinners. That sounds very romantic. That sounds very nice. But you're also, you know, the truth about relationships, too, is that you do end up becoming each other's best friend. And it becomes less of that, oh, I'm so in love, like childish stuff that you start the relationship with.
Yeah, absolutely. You go into something more comfortable. You have someone that's witnessing your life, so you tend to call them when you need something, or you tend to call them when you want to share something. And that, you're right, it's what it becomes. It becomes a friendship. And to me, as I get older, I'm also realizing how important friendships are. Friendships are massively important. Like, we have to have friends. I want to say this. No, I'm actually not going to say it, but I was going to say, especially for women. but I'm not going to say it. We all need to have friends because friends are important. You know, partners, lovers can come and go, but to have a strong social support circle for the rest of your life is, in fact, studies have been done. There's a strong correlation between having a strong social support system and longevity. Mm. So people that have friends tend to live longer. Mm. People that don't
die.
Not so much.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of friends who you've been friends with for a long, long time.
I have good friends. Not a lot of friends, but I have a close circle of girlfriends that I've had for more than 20 years. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't particularly like making new friends.
Okay. But if we take 20 years ago, you were a very young girl starting off in entertainment, mm-hmm. right? And you may have had a lot more in common with them then.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but
true.
You've really lived this kind of an extraordinary life since then in different ways. Mm-hmm. I'm not by any means saying that you're in some elevated place now. But you have experienced a lot of really extraordinary things that they haven't, perhaps. Do those friends keep you grounded? Or do you sometimes give them an insight into the world that they don't inhabit?
So the girlfriends that I do have are all very, very, very different. They're not, you know, they're not. When you say, oh, I have a tribe, you know, people from a tribe are usually have same way of thinking, same culture. My tribe is very different. They're all very different. What stands out for me with my girlfriends is that they're good human beings. We certainly, and you're so right, I don't have, there are things that I don't share in common with them anymore, mm-hmm. you know, that I did in my 20s and I'm now in my 40s because I certainly have changed and I'm sure they're having in certain ways too, but they are good human beings. And that's what I love most about my girlfriends. They're good people. I love good people. It's not so much about, you know, you could have something in common with someone, but they may not be a good human being. And for me, I'm just in love with good human beings, man.
That's special. Mm. That's really special. What about the? I know we're going into everything here, but there's so much to talk about with you. What about money? I mean, people. A lot of people are obsessed with this, and even studying psychology now, you must see how it just is the only driving ambition for some people, and it's not very healthy, right?
And a lot of us think that, you know, as soon as I start making a certain amount of zeros, that's when my happiness is going
to
kick in.
Completely. Happiness is just like balance. It's elusive, right? The closer you get to it, the more you realize that you're not actually going to get to it. Well, this is another thing that's coming up for me with age, is that you need very little money to be happy. I'm also finding that just materialistically in my life, I'm not so obsessed about getting the latest phone or, you know, a new pair of shoes or a new car. Oh. There was a time in my life where I was constantly upgrading, and now I'm going, what are you doing? Like, think about your carbon footprint. Do you actually need this? No, you don't need it. So, yeah, money's been an interesting factor for me. I certainly don't earn the kind of money I used to earn, you know, when I was in my 20s, but I'm happier.
Yeah. You know? I totally buy that.
I'm happier.
I think it's absolutely right. And people,
sometimes money's a distraction, Gareth. It makes you, you know, you're not focusing on the things that really matter, like your health, for example.
Well, if it's about this kind of, you have to take from one to give to the other. So somewhere in the middle, we're all striving for that golden kind of overlap where you've got enough joy and happiness and love, mm-hmm. enough sleep, enough personal satisfaction, enough health, and enough money. And somewhere they're gonna overlap in different ways.
Yeah.
And you're gonna get the mix that works for you.
Yeah.
But nobody's perfect. And what we've also all gotta get over is that we keep seeing the life of, and you spend a lot of time in Beverly Hills, you spend a lot of time in LA, you see these celebrities. They're not all happy people.
Completely.
I mean, we look at very wealthy people, we look at powerful people, and we think they've got it all.
Yeah,
they may have stresses that you and I don't even know about, right?
I think they do, actually.
So when you study the psychology, what's going to be the implementation? Do you want to open up a practice one day?
I do. So
because I'll come.
Yeah, as long as you can teach him more downward dog. Yes.
So I'm very interested in plant medication.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Like
homeopathy stuff, or are we talking about like ayahuasca in the mountains of Peru?
Yeah,
I am. Have you done that stuff yet?
I have. I've done ayahuasca.
All right.
Okay.
All right. Tell me about this, because we had
in every detail possible.
Because we had a guy in here a while ago who came in, and he's a shaman, and he told us how he does it, mm-hmm. and what it feels like, and how it goes, and how it's different for every person. What's your experience?
So I've done ayahuasca. First of all, I think that we have teacher plants in our world for a reason. I think that we've got in Africa, for example, we've got an incredible plant called iboga, which is also hallucinogenic as well. But mm-hmm. these are all healing plants, like mm-hmm. ayahuasca, San Pedro, tobacco, marijuana. They're healing plants, but they've been given a bad name because of the way they've been used and abused, and that's the problem.
Okay.
One of the reasons I'm studying psychology is because I really do want to merge that scientific field with plants, because I believe that they have a place too. So where I'm going to be in time to come, I really can't say, but that is definitely an interest I have, is going into plant medication and seeing how we can heal through plants.
All right, so where did you first try the ayahuasca?
So, first of all, it took a long time for me to do ayahuasca. I don't drink. I don't drink alcohol. I've never done drugs in my life. So I'm very much for me to be in control of my mind is a big deal.
But let's just make this
clear. So ayahuasca.
Because what I understood from last time, and what people keep telling me, it's an important distinction. This is not some recreational drug. This is something that you want to spiritually experience.
Yes. But a lot of people don't think so, because when things start becoming mainstream, you know, and there's like tourism gets involved, it's like, oh, it's the latest thing to do, it's the latest
trance
party.
It becomes a commodity.
Exactly. And so I get quite offended when I hear that, because it's not that for me. It's very, what is very much a, you know, I did research for a year to go to the right shaman, so that I was just very clear about what I was doing, because I'd heard so much about this plant. I'd studied a lot about it. It was incredible, Gareth. I've done ayahuasca a few times. Is every experience different? Completely.
And do you do what they say? You connect with some kind of universal consciousness? Is it a very profound thing every time?
Yes, it's been profound each time. So I've only done it, I do it once a year. I've been doing it for the last 3 years with a great shaman who lives in LA. He's German, and he comes to South Africa once a year to do his ceremonies. It's very, very ceremonial. So it's very much a closed space of a container. There's no such thing as partying or anything like that. Mm. It's very, very beautiful, seriously beautiful. Yeah, the experience has been, it's very hard to describe to someone because it's so personal.
So in other words, this is just something, again, you can't recommend this for anyone because you don't know what people might need in their lives or what they're looking for, because mm-hmm. everyone's searching for something. But it does sound to me like it's a very intense thing. You don't come out of that and go, oh, well, that was nice, let's do it again.
Yeah.
No. So the thing about ayahuasca is that it's a teacher plant that actually stays with you for a long time. They say it brings things to your awareness and your consciousness over a period of time. And that's why you find a lot of people doing certain things, like just because it's the latest thing that they're doing. It's their new addiction. So people may do ayahuasca once a month or every 3 months because, I don't know, it gives them a certain kind of a feel-good emotion for X amount of time. I do it once a year and that's it. And it's in fact, if I never do it again, it's also fine. I'm just interested in the healing benefits of that. You know, there's been, once again, studies, ayahuasca and having a correlation with curing cancer or post-traumatic stress disorder. Those are the things that I'm truly interested in how these plants can guide us in terms of those illnesses. Hmm. I still know very little about it, so I don't, you know, but that's my interest.
I'm not asking you as an expert, so I'm not going to hold you to any of this. It's just fascinating to me that I keep having, you know, with certain people, like there's a level of understanding, and I say to them, oh, I haven't tried it yet, neither has Mubs, neither has Sia, neither has Ben. But we keep hearing from people who have, right? It's a recurring theme.
Mm. And I think at this stage, it's piqued our interest so much that we're all thinking, okay, then maybe I should try this.
Do you know what, guys? It's natural. It's from the earth, you know? Think about it that way. It's like we have these plants for a reason, for the same reason you've got broccoli. You know, or kale.
Well, I still don't know the reason for broccoli.
And how does one ingest the ayahuasca? Do you drink it? Do you inhale?
You drink it, yes. Okay. So it's a potion that's brewed by. So the shaman that I that I was introduced to is actually a chemist as well.
Hmm.
So he's renowned apparently worldwide for his ayahuasca potions.
Hmm.
So you ingest it, yeah, and then it, you know, it has an effect on you.
And how long does the effect last?
Once again, you know, different for different people. Yeah. For but a couple of hours, you know, some people have experienced trauma, you know, from things from the past. Some people go back into the womb and see what that was like. Sure. For me, I've only had, you know, to date, I've only had really beautiful experiences, like seriously beautiful experiences.
This is fantastic.
This is eye-opening.
Well, Zareda, it's always nice to catch up with you, and I hope that we'll do it again soon, not 3 years from now. Where did I see you the other day? Oh, at the Kellogg's breakfast, yeah.
All brand, yes.
But it would be good to catch up with you again.
Yes. No. Thank you, guys. It was nice seeing you again. Mm. Enjoy your brand new day.
Thank you.
Ben, you've been quiet.
I've had breakfast. I've been outside the whole time.
What did you have?
Yeah, no,
all brand.
I'm an absolute glutton for the healthy stuff.
Did you taste the granola?
Yeah.
That's my new
favorite.
No,
I literally went through everything. Because like, interesting hasn't been fast. The interview hasn't been fascinating.
What are you
I've
like sipping on
there.
Now?
Now I'm just sort of, you know, balancing out with a hazelnut cappuccino.
Wow.
Sure.
Topped
with cornflakes.
That sounds very
with some
nice.
Blueberries.
You went all
yeah.
out.
Did you leave some for us, Ben?
Well, I don't know. All I have to say is that if you want to know more about any of this, you can go to brandnewday.co.za. That's brannewday.co.za. It's the home of everything from information about bran and fiber to fun recipes. Kellogg's All Bran and Zareda Jardine this morning talking about how you can live a better, more balanced, healthy and fulfilled life, and that's precisely what we've spent most of the time talking to Zareda about, so I'm very excited about that.
This is CliffCentral.com.